Public Health Nursing Summit, Connecting Illinois' Population-Focused Nursing Workforce. And though I'm presenting this, it really was a very much a collaborative effort. And in the room, I see some people who were part of that collaborative effort. I'm on the planning committee. Pat Donald back here was part of that. Bobby Lyons has kind of held us all together a lot of times. She's the project coordinator for our AFNI project. And Chris Gebbe was the one who talked Connie Amont into taking the leadership of the Public Health Nurse Summit. So it's nice to have some of you here in the room. Okay, can I keep going? In Illinois, as in a lot of the country, the public health workforce it has a few issues. And these are three of the issues that we identified in Illinois that we wanted to try to do something about. And these are lack of a strong and unified voice for public health nursing, recruitment and retention problems in public health nursing. In fact, some of our health departments have turnover rates at about 25%, and we are losing public health nursing positions in some of our health departments that are being converted to other professionals or even paraprofessionals. And I see people nodding, so I know that's happening other places too. And so the Illinois Summit was born from a joint brainstorming session in 2006. We were at a state public health nursing section meeting, and there were about six people in the section meeting at that particular point in time. And then we had also had a Advancing Public Health Nursing Education grant meeting prior to that, and when we get together in that, we're anywhere from maybe 25 to 50 strong, although there are about 100 people part of that partnership. And we got together and decided that we needed to have some kind of venue for public health practice and education to continue to meet in after our HRSA grant ran out. And we had been talking about, could that venue be the nursing section of the Illinois Public Health Association, which at that point in time was kind of floundering. And so we decided to come together with those two pieces and form something new called the Public Health Nursing Summit. And the reason we just didn't go into the Public Health Nursing section and leave it at that was we have some political things going on in our state, especially probably more so at that particular point in time, where there were some people who weren't thinking that they wanted to be part of the Illinois Public Health Association. We're having a bit of a rift between upstate and downstate. So we came up with the Public Health Nurse Summit, and we invited, in addition to those two big pieces here, we invited also our colleagues from corrections, parish nursing, occupational health nursing, and school nursing, which we felt were the other population-focused specialties in the state, to participate with us. And those organizations sent representatives to our planning section, or our planning effort. And here you see we have a wide variety of settings represented. We have local health departments. We have the Department of Human Services at the state level. We have people from Department of Corrections and those other subspecialties, and then faculty. Well, what have we accomplished? Our major probably output, if you want to say, were two public health nursing summits. The first one was held 2 years ago in April, and we had about 155 people there. The second one was held a year later, and we had about 170 people at that one. And one of the things that we were really proud of was that as a planning committee, we were concerned because we're pretty old, a lot of us who were in the leadership roles in public health nursing, and we really wanted to grow the younger folks. And so we made an agreement as a planning committee that each one of us would either bring a student or bring a young staff person with us to the Public Health Nurse Summit. And as it ended up, we had several students there, and we had some younger staff. Another thing about the summit was we, at each of the two summits, we've had panels. And at those panels, we've had people talking about the subspecialty roles, talking about local health departments, occupational health, school nursing, corrections, and parish. And the first summit meeting, we had those folks focus on what their roles were. At the second summit, we had those people pick one of the evidence-based issues that we were dealing with and talk about how that particular evidence-based issue pertained to their work site. Here you see, at the very first summit, we asked Bobby Berkowitz from the University of Washington to come and keynote for us. And we asked her to do that because we really thought to become a strong and powerful voice and deal with some of those issues that I had up there, we needed to know more about advocacy and how to present ourselves to boards and to people in the legislature. So we asked Bobby to come. She talked about the relationship between evidence-based practice and outcomes and presenting those outcomes to folks. So we went into small groups at that first summit, and we asked the small groups to identify areas where they thought there was an evidence base for public health nursing, issues that we could address, and we could talk about what we already knew about ourselves, and then some areas that maybe we didn't know much about. And after those small groups met and they wrote up their findings, then we took those findings and we did a kind of a down and dirty content analysis on those descriptively and came up with five areas that you see on this slide that we were going to address in terms of evidence-based nursing. And those are lead, immunization, prenatal outcomes, sexually transmitted disease, and chronic disease. And we wanted to address chronic disease as it related to adult obesity. We thought there was a lot of stuff out there on kids. We really wanted to talk more about adults. So how did we get to this point, or how did we organize ourselves? And one of the things that a true collaborative has is a shared vision. And as we talked, we decided that our shared vision was to become a strong and shared, powerful voice for nursing. The next thing is that collaboratives share power. And Connie Amont, who Chris talked into taking the lead on our Public Health Nurse Summit, was an ideal person to pick. She'd been a leader in our Department of Human Services, and she was retiring. And she decided to take this on, and she organized us all, and the planning group were leaders who shared the power as we put together the summit. The other thing, the resources, we all pitched in some money for the very first summit. We made money. We now have a purse to keep us going. But for that first summit, we all pitched in money from our organizations, Illinois Public Health Association, APHNE, the occupational health nurses. We all did that. And then we did charge. The other resources that we shared besides the money to get us going were everybody put a representative on that planning committee. And we shared the responsibilities. Not once did we ever meet in person. One of the things that Connie likes to say about this group is some of the people she probably wouldn't recognize, that we did this all over the phone and managed to come up with an excellent summit meeting. Our strategy as we go forward from the summit is to present our practice outcomes. Then the second strategy was to tie those outcomes to public health nursing stories so that we could then take those two things and advance our cause with our boards, our legislators, whatever. So we decided with our practice outcomes, those five areas that I showed you before, that we would do five task forces around the state. So we sent out on the Illinois Public Health Nursing Listserv and to all the summit participants a call to volunteer for one of those five task forces. And those task forces then were going to start developing or summarizing the evidence base around those five issues that we talked about. Well, we got our five task forces together. They involved about, I don't know, somewhere around 35 to 40 people. And the next piece of that task force work was for the task force to somehow limit those broad categories. Because lead poisoning, what do you really want to talk about in terms of lead poisoning? Or prenatal outcomes, what do you really want to talk about? That's pretty broad. So those task forces were charged with being pretty specific about what was going to happen in those small groups. And you see here what that each one of those came up with in terms of limiting those items a little bit. The lead poisoning group, which I facilitated, did prevention and treatment. The prenatal outcomes group did short interconceptual periods in teens. Immunization was marketing the HPV vaccine. Preventing obesity in adults was exercise and nutrition. And STD was prevention of high-risk behaviors. Now, each one of those five task forces, again, did not meet face-to-face. They teleconferenced. Each one of the five task forces was staffed by a graduate student who actually did lit reviews for us and presented the evidence to us. That became that graduate student's graduate project. They have a capstone project they have to do. In those task forces, we had people from education, we had people who were working on PhDs, which was kind of a nice addition, and we had faculty. We started out with asking people to use the PICO format to make their questions. So in each one of those areas, we asked them to come up with a question that would guide the work of the task force. And that PICO model, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, asks for patient population problem. So it's, who is this target audience here? The intervention or the exposure, what's that thing that you're looking at? And for the HPV folks, they were looking at marketing, social marketing of that HPV vaccine. A comparison versus what? Maybe it's compared to nothing because nothing's being done, or maybe it's compared to some kind of standardized intervention that you're doing now. And then the outcome or the effect. And you'll see here examples of two PICO questions from the lead group. And I pulled these because I was most familiar with them. Prevention. In children birth to 7 years, because that's the high-risk population for lead poisoning in children, that's why we chose that. Do population-focused strategies reduce the risk of lead poisoning, control group versus no intervention? And what are those intervention strategies? And then, because we wanted to look at treatment too, we were supposed to just have one question, but we decided we wanted two, and we had two students in the group, so. The second question was, do population-focused treatment strategies influence the incidence of developmental delays in children aged 0 to 7 who have lead poisoning, blood lead levels of greater than 10 micrograms per milliliter? And these groups actually have finished their work. That's not part of my talk today. That's a talk for another time. But unfortunately, that answer to that last one is no, for those of you who have been in the literature. The second piece, besides getting at the evidence base, was also we wanted to look at telling our stories. So we invited Linda Olson Keller. Pat ran her down for the second summit. And Linda talked to us about the Minnesota model, but also, more apropos to this, was she talked to us about how to tell your stories. And one of the things that she said, I put in this slide because I love this. She said, you can present all the outcome information you want and statistics that you have, but numbers numb, jargon jars, nobody ever marched on Washington because of a pie chart. And in a two-hour speech, people will remember a two-minute story. So the work that we did at that second summit was we divided ourselves into small groups, and we came up with stories. And we did that considering that a good story has structure, detail, emotion, and truth and meaning. And each one of we did that by region at the second summit. And each region was to go forth and develop those stories more. Now, those stories are an amalgamation. They're not a real story about me as a public health nursing or public health nurse and what I did necessarily. They may be a combination of me and you and what Susan did as a public health nurse out there too. But the point is that they get the role across, and they get the true meaning of the experience across to the person who hears it. And that is right now one of the things that we're still working on. And again, we decided, since we'd chosen those five issues for evidence-based practice, that we would do our stories around those five issues too. Now I come to the end of this, and I didn't really just come here to present to you exactly what we did, but also to challenge you to take a minute and think about, could this work in your setting? Would a public health nurse summit strengthen public health nurses in your region? Why don't you take a minute and jot down on paper, what would it look like if you called a summit where you live? What would your vision or your goals or your structure look like? Would it look like ours? Would it be different in a little way, or some ways anyway? But I think probably most of us in the country could benefit by some kind of call to action in a structure such as this. So I would challenge you to do that. And finally, the summit was all about partnership synergy, which is what I think moves mountains in the end. And I'd like to close with a quote by Henry Ford, which is our favorite quote. Coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success. Thank you.